Welcome to the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast. We've been managed the last few weeks, but we're back bigger than ever, hitting you harder than a global pandemic. We're just coming out of the pandemic, although some suburbs are back in lockdown. And I've thought about it, Kingy. I've thought maybe I wanted to change my postcode and just get back into lockdown, because there's something about being in lockdown and just being able to sit on the couch and refresh and maybe watch a few gallop races. That's quite enticing, but that's not happening, Kingy. I'm stuck here in Geelong, and well, the Cats aren't stuck in here in Geelong. They're stuck for this weekend.
And then they're gone.
And then they are gone-ski for 32 days as a minimum, I think.
There is some talk, and we are recording this Friday morning, early Friday morning. These are unheard of hours for you, Ben.
Usually I'd just be sort of getting home and trying to find a shoe. Oh, steel side bottom. Did I steal side? I had to laugh because he was Coach Nathan Buckley, and look, credit to him, he was pretty transparent. The Cats weren't so transparent when it came to a certain other player who may have been stabbed and then refused to cooperate with police, which I still find absolutely staggering for an AFL player who refuses to cooperate with police. Anyway, we can move on from that. I haven't moved on from that because I cannot believe that is allowed to happen and the footy club would allow that to happen.
Move on.
Because what are we talking about?
Steel side bottom. They called him half naked, which I think is code for shirtless.
Yeah.
So he's probably got a pair of jocks or boxers on.
Yeah.
And he's, I can get the gone through the wrong door. That has been known to happen.
You just hate what's on the other side of that door is a little bit enticing.
Unfortunately, it was the streets of Williamstown.
Yeah, it was. And then he was, that's happened to some of the, I remember once I may have refreshed at a venue.
May have.
Yeah, I may have. There may have been some late night refreshments. And we were staying in a hotel. And everybody had a room. And I forget who. This is going back some time. This is probably at least.
Which city?
At least 2 or 3 weeks ago. We were in Perth because I lived in Perth for a period of time.
This is when you were doing the mine thing.
Yes. And so
you weren't at the
I know where I was.
You weren't at the Maracuna.
I was staying the week. I spent a week. I stayed at the casino.
At Burswood.
I lived at we called it Blurswood. And I had a few friends. Anyway, we got refreshed and I was over refreshed. And I'd gone back to my room. I made it back to the room. Yeah. And then I couldn't, I don't know what happened, but I'd gone into some sort of deep sort of psychosis, coma type arrangement. And then I obviously needed to, the function started to kick in. I needed to get up and just go to the toilet. So I don't know how, but I ended up out in the hallway without a stitch on, with no key. At like four, I remember looking down and seeing a clock. It was 4:57 a.m. And I'm thinking, goodness me. I kid you not, I actually got, what was I going to do? There was no one around. There wasn't a lady sweeping past with her
trolley.
Not at 4:57. So I had to go down. I found a little pot plant thing. And I had to go down to reception. I was in the lift. I had to go to reception just with I must have looked like Tarzan with a bit of a merkin on. And I said to the guy, I said, look, you know what's happened. And he just looked at me, he started nodding, and he goes, what room number? And I couldn't figure what number I was in. And then he's saying, what floor? And I said, I'm number 7, I think. Anyway, so I managed to, I'm walking around with luckily there was no one around other than the concierge, and luckily there was a guy behind the jump. Anyway, I got back in the room, so I can understand where Steel Side was going, and I didn't get a 4-week suspension either. So that was, anyway, I can absolutely resonate with how Steel's feeling. You got to be piss fit. If you're going to have a big sesh, just during the week, just have a few. Just limber yourself up, get yourself right.
Yep.
Because he clearly hadn't.
All right, we were talking about the Cats. And they're obviously, the talk is, so as I said, we're Friday morning. We don't know what round 6 looks like, but the whisper going around last night involving the Channel 7 journos was that the St Kilda Geelong game that was next Thursday night will actually still go ahead. They'll still play that at Marvel, and then both the Saints and the Cats will be gone.
Yeah.
So, but the Cats have got bigger fish to
Perth.
Well, definitely Perth for the Cats.
Yep.
Where the Saint, well, they sort of picked up on Jaron Geary post game last night saying up there, which might indicate they're either going to Sydney or Queensland.
Yeah, or Queensland. Well, it's going to be interesting.
Somewhere near Kalawanga.
Where's K-Rock going to be hubbing?
Nah.
The K-Rock crew?
Don't know yet.
We're setting up a tent city around the Yu-Yangs. We were talking about that last night.
Kangaroo Island got a mention.
Yes, we could. There's plenty of spots we could go. Tassie would be a good one.
Tassie would be a good one. This time of year, you want to be on the Gold Coast, don't you? Weather's nice.
Yeah, I don't know. The Gold Coast has never been a venue that has really sizzled my...
Perth?
Yeah, Perth's a beautiful spot.
Can't go to Adelaide. They're not going to let the hubs in
Adelaide. No, Perth is, if you've got nothing else to do, get over to Perth, because it's sort of like... South of Perth is a bit like Victoria, but it's just about 8 degrees warmer.
Mm.
It's beautiful over there. There's plenty to do, and there's plenty of just sort of... Yeah, there's plenty of stuff to keep yourself occupied.
All right, Cats, tomorrow night.
Well, it's a big, big day for the club, isn't it?
Massive.
300 for Selwood and 350 for Ablett, albeit at two clubs.
Gary Ablett didn't do any media this week.
Oh, I got to sneeze. Yeah, look, I mentioned it to you during the week. You know, I especially he may have said, he may not have, I might be completely wrong, but he may have said, look, I don't want to do any media this week. It's the captain's 300th game. I'm playing 350, which he obviously would, you know, acknowledge himself and think it's a great achievement, but it's not at the one club.
I think it's his 240th for the Cats.
Yeah, so I think he would have said, look, it's the milestone for Joel's far more important than mine, and he's the captain of the footy club, and I'll just run out and do my thing, and he can enjoy the week and do that. That may not be the case, but I would have thought that the club may have even said to him, look, we'd probably like to do that. I don't know. I've got no idea. But it is odd that he hasn't done any media. And has Selwood been front and square sort of with the media this week?
Yeah, he's done all the major media outlets. He did AFL 360.
I saw his head on the telly
Tuesday
last night.
He's doing one of the Melbourne radio stations. He did last night. He's doing us. So I went one-on-one with him on Wednesday.
Yep.
Which we'll play back on Saturday in the pregame. We've got a massive pregame Saturday because I've got Brendan McCartney's going to join us. And, of course, McCartney's development role in both Ablett and Selwood can't be underestimated. Troy Selwood's going to join us to give us the family view. And obviously, Troy's seen it up close for the last 7 or 8 years.
Mum's making a banner.
Really?
Apparently.
Wow.
She's gone and raided a crepe paper store and is producing some sort of banner.
Because the family aren't allowed...
No.
The game, which is really sad. I believe there's a Selwood family gathering, although that would be minimal too because you're only allowed to have minimal people.
It's not. I mean, look, Joel's probably disappointed.
He said it was bitter. He faced the media yesterday. He did the actual all-in media conference yesterday, which amazingly only three media outlets actually turned up to. But he spoke about that. He said, yeah, it's just, it, he goes, but it, like, Joel's pretty accepting. Yeah. And pretty.
He just wants them to get a W.
Yes, because they have got that unfortunate sequence that's been running for 12 months of LW, LW, LW.
Yeah.
And if the sequence was to continue, it's an L. They lost Dangerfield's 250th. Is that right? That was a Carlton game.
Yep.
So.
They were anything but convincing last week, were they? Against Melbourne. They were horrible.
If not for a couple of Jake Melksham brain fades.
Yeah.
They lose that game. Jake Melksham should have won that game for Melbourne off his own boot.
Yeah.
But he made a couple of horrendous errors, and in the end, the Cats were able to scrape through. But, gee, since they've been back, they've played Geelong, they're 2-1, but I reckon they've only played four good quarters of footy, maybe the first, third and last against Hawthorn, and the last against Carlton. But outside of that...
They're right at this point, and there's a long way to go. So they're not handing out the Premiership Cup round five. In fact, we're not sure when they'll be handing the Premiership Cup out.
Sometime in 2024.
Yes. They're not handing it out now, but it's fair to say that the Cats are a fair way off anything that's going to trouble the scorers come the pointy end of the season, yep, as they're playing right now.
And going into those hubs, how does that impact? Look at how West Coast, Adelaide, Fremantle have performed in the hubs. Port Adelaide are the outlier there, but based on how the hubs have gone.
Are you allowed to take the lovely with you to the hub?
Geelong are not taking families from what I understand.
So what they should do, this is the perfect experiment. This is reality TV at its best. What they should do is have one team that's potentially on a similar sort of, what you would consider a similar sort of line to the other team in terms of where the expectation is, their talent pool. Allow one team to take their lovelies and the other team not, and see which team performs better, because that'll be irrefutable evidence of the either the power or the non-power of the.
So Collingwood and Geelong are both going to Perth.
Yep.
And probably are on that similar.
Yes.
Collingwood maybe.
So a Collingwood, I imagine they'd have a huge entourage. Are they? They got
they're going to Joondalup to some resort.
Oh wow. That's out of Perth, yeah. Joondalup. That's not 4 minutes away.
No, so they're going to some resort.
Yeah, Joondalup.
And the Cats apparently will
it's a golf resort. Cats so going, there'd be plenty of golf played.
Cats are going to Crown Towers. Yeah, the issue is though,
Crown.
The issue is though,
I wonder whether that pot plant will still be there that we're widening it up in the foyer.
The 14 days has to be served. The only thing they can do is be in their room, train, play. That's it. I think they have to eat in their room and all that.
Yeah,
sort
see,
of stuff
this is. Well, this is going to be. Look, it's going to be a real mental battle more than anything. They've got to do it. They're well paid. That's it.
Well, if they don't,
bad luck.
As Chris Scott said, we'll do anything, because the moment we say we're not doing stuff, the season stops and people lose jobs. People are going to lose jobs as it is. People that have been at the Geelong Football Club and other football clubs for ever and a day, they're not coming back.
Well, Joel Corey wasn't asked back for the Bulldogs.
Yep.
As an assistant coach.
Gary Hocking's not back at Collingwood.
No.
So you got a lot of these Geelong guys that have got Geelong links have been on the tools.
Yes.
Even Scarlow and Corey Enright, I think, were doing labouring jobs during the shutdown.
Yeah, I think Joel Corey's another one. So, yeah, look, it's pandemic times, Kingy. Mm-hmm. You've got to do whatever you can to get through. And, you know, look, I don't know. People work long hauls all the time. This is I get a little frustrated. Football's had it so good.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Football clubs have had it so good. They're so far removed from the reality of what goes on out in the world.
Yeah.
And now they're getting a taste of what goes on in the world, and they don't like it. And I was disappointed with Trent Cotchin suggesting our players won't go to the hub because they've got this and that going. Well, I work with guys in Mindsight, do 6 and 1.
Yeah.
That's it. They work 6 weeks straight.
I think there's a couple of
exceptions. If you've got a baby going.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. One.
Jordan Roughhead came out last week. He's got the wife with the health issues.
Yep.
I think that's fair enough.
Yep. There's probably two or three instances where you'd say fair enough.
It's a bit like like the four reasons that you're allowed out of your house in the hotspot areas.
Yes. What about the security sort of setups at there was no wonder it was being transmitted.
So the Cats made two.
Well, so this is my point of the hub though.
Yes.
My other question of the hub is, okay, so Trent Cotchin's already flagging players some players potentially unwilling to go,
they're going,
which is fine. Okay, I understand that he wants to go with that line. That's fine. So what happens? And right now, everyone's in the race. Everybody's still a chance.
Yep.
What happens if we're hubbing? If we're hubba bubbering in round 16, and your team is 3-12? So what happens? And then I guarantee you guys say, "Oh my god, there." No chance.
I think they're hoping by then that we're back.
Well, what if they're not though? Players will just pull the pin because they're playing for nothing.
We'll deal with it. We'll deal with it when we get to it, Benny. I don't think we can. I suspect that might be in the AFL's contingencies, but they've got no previous form to go by. It's not like they can pick up the Saturday paper and go Flemington 9 races and go, "Oh, this is how we went by last time."
Yeah,
we've never gone through this.
No, I wonder the motivations as the season drags on as to how that will pan out.
We can't argue with that. That's going to be exactly right. Can we talk about the changes?
Yeah, look,
so Tom Stewart's a massive.
It's a big out for the Cats.
It's huge because who's going to provide that bit of dare?
Yeah, well, Jordan, something's happened with Jordan Clark.
Yes,
he's done something, or he's returned unfit.
Yeah, there was some suggestion that maybe he came back not in the nick.
Yeah.
That, and this is from a kid that I spoke to during the lockdown who said, and I didn't know this was an issue, but his words were, "I've actually always had an issue with my skinnies, with his skin folds," which surprises me. There's not a lot of him, but he did say that, and whether he's come back and this is a bit of penance for not being in the...
I'd have to be.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I mean, Harry Taylor, do you just play him at GMHBA nowhere else? It's potentially... I mean, he wasn't managed last week. He was dropped. Why the club runs with that rubbish line just infuriates me. He got absolutely towed by Casbolt. Mm. That was a GMHBA.
But he didn't have a matchup last week either.
Who's his matchup this week?
Against Melbourne. Probably Sam Day.
I just don't see a matchup for Harry Taylor, unfortunately.
Blitzarves goes to King.
Yeah, Blitzarves to King, yeah. I'm happy with that.
Taylor goes to Day.
Yep, I'd have Cole Jasny on Day and I'd have Taylor playing in the scratch match.
Yeah, well, there's no. Still don't know whether there's a scratch match.
Well, I'll have him watching from his couch.
Cats.
He's just not part of the team, unfortunately. Harry, Geelong aren't winning any premiership, and this is what they've got this group for. It's not to finish eighth.
No, it's doing.
And I get him this Brian Cook. Oh, we can't drop. We can't drop. We can't drop. So let's keep regenerating to finish eighth. Well, eventually the club's going to get real sick of that.
But they haven't been finishing eighth. They've been playing preliminary finals.
They've got nowhere near a flag.
No, but they've been but they've got closer than 14 other clubs.
They have. Well, closer. But they think they're closer than they think, I think. If you get my
drift. What do you think?
Yeah, this is Dr. Seuss. That's what the 58th edition of a Dr. Seuss book. Well, they've continued to top up each year. I mean, Jack Stephen. Josh Jenkins. What? No. Rubbish. Well, why would you go? Then you got Lockie Henderson playing. This is our last chance to win a premiership with this group this year. Otherwise,
but they're not going to
you've got to pull the whole thing apart.
They're not going to say that.
Well, they don't have to, because their recruiting will tell you that.
Yeah.
So, Harry Taylor just isn't part of their best team.
But they have drafted for the future as well.
Well, they've got 3 picks this year.
Yeah. So they've picked up Stevens, DeConning, Evans.
Well, Evans is a mature. He's a 21, isn't he? Something.
Evans.
Yeah.
He's 19. Played in the NAB League last year.
I thought he was 20.
No. Played in the NAB League last year.
Okay.
Played for Domsey's.
So they've picked up a couple of kids.
Yeah, they went back to the draft.
So at the end of this year, if Geelong don't win it, which I don't know that they can, Taylor's gone. Ablett's gone.
Yep.
Lockie Henderson's gone.
Yep.
Josh Jenkins. Why they got him, I've no idea.
He's on a 2-year deal, so he'll still be here.
That is extraordinary. Why Gary Realm was signed for 1 more year, I have no idea. How did he go last week? He had 3 kicks.
Yep.
He was horrific.
But the week before, his intensity got the Cats back into the game.
He played okay. He didn't touch the ball in the first quarter.
No, but he wasn't alone.
No. But why he was re-signed is still baffling.
He's your whipping boy, isn't he?
Oh, his ball games are absolutely putrid. And he has no way of staying involved in the game when he's putrid. And
he does play Starvation Corner.
Oh, yeah, but so do a lot of other players, and they don't touch the ball 3 times. He doesn't tackle. They talk about his pressure. I think he had 1 tackle last week. So, yeah, look, there's just so many holes in that team, and I just don't know why they keep going back to Harry Taylor. I mean, he's been a great player. I just think he's gone on 1 year too long. And the fact that they had to drop him after 2 weeks suggests that. Now they bring him straight back in where... Let's say he's getting towed up by Sam Day, there's no other matchup for Harry Taylor. You have to put him on the bench. Mm. Where do you put him?
Well, you then have to play as that sag off defender and hope that. Well, who goes to Sexton?
Well, you need somebody locked down. I'd probably try Buse initially and hope that works, because he's a good player, Sexton. Mm.
He's a gun.
If he was on Broadway, yeah, you'd be talking about him as being one of the better sort of small.
I hope they learnt some stuff out of the I know it was only Marsh series. But the Suns exposed some fragilities in the Cats that night.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, look, I mean, that was such a long time ago. I don't know what you read into those games.
It was February 21, I think. World changed a bit, Benny.
Yeah, and they I don't know if you read a whole lot into those pre-season games, but...
We won't be playing them in the future, I don't think.
No, well...
I don't think they'll be...
No, probably not.
No.
I think the NFL is actually talking about their preseason being cut to 2 games already for this year.
When's the NFL starting, Benny?
Well, it's
supposed to start in September.
Yeah.
Not?
Well, they're talking about the training camps being open and running, which is sort of late this month. Yeah. All teams start late this month, but they've got some real problems in America, obviously, as has been well documented.
Yes.
But I don't know that season will get underway. I mean, the NFL, probably like the AFL even to another degree, will do all they can to ensure that it does. But, yeah, look, they're cutting the preseason to 2 games, normally 4.
Yep.
So those games would be starting in around about probably 6 weeks' time.
Okay. Not that I've ever had a real allegiance to an NFL side, but on the record, now that there is a team in Vegas,
Yes, the Vegas Raiders.
The Vegas Raiders. They are now my team in the NFL.
And are they running out of that, what is it, SoFi Stadium, whatever it's called?
No, they've got
a new stadium.
Isn't there's Allegiant?
Oh, it could be, yeah, Allegiant Stadium.
They're Allegiant Stadium, and SoFi is the one in LA.
Oh, that's where they were playing, was it?
Yeah, no, that's the one being built.
Oh, right.
That's where the Chargers and the Rams play out of, right. Which is on the old Hollywood Park racetrack.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So that's, but having been in Vegas in November.
Is that where Hoof Harder did all his stuff?
Rao will get a matchup?
No.
No?
No.
They won't put Guthrie to him?
I don't reckon. I reckon the coach just loves his mind games. Why he worries about that is beyond me. He's just put the wind up him. He lets the kid think he's going to get a tag all week and he doesn't get one. Geelong don't tag. Who are they tagged? Who are they tagged this year?
Yeah, like,
no one.
Not Cripps.
No, they didn't. Who did they tag last week?
Yeah,
no one.
Not Viney.
Who did they tag in the gets Hawthorn?
No,
no one.
Not Mitchell.
They don't tag. No. So he's suddenly talking about that they're going to tag start first up in the week. Please. They won't tag him. He's just trying to put some weigh on his mind a little bit for the week, and Rao probably wouldn't have even seen it anyway. He wouldn't have a clue. But they won't. I don't think they'll tag him. Unless he's had 78 possessions at half time, and then they might. But
how's Fort going to go with Wits?
Yeah, the old big Wits. He's pretty good, as he's been pretty good for the Suns. He's a man mountain. So, yeah, look, Fort's just got to do his best. You've just got to hope I think anything close to breaking even in the ruck would probably be okay for the Cats.
Yep.
And that's bound to be the case every week. I heard Brett Ratton talk about it last night, and this is probably, one area where the Cats are going to struggle, is that with the way footy's being played at the moment and the inability of teams to score and from general play, maybe scrounging those two or three, three doesn't sound many, but when you're only talking 10 goals to eight,
yep.
It's a lot. Scrounging that three goals out of a centre clearance where you get the ball out from a nice tap,
yep.
Straight out of the middle, long ball, you've just got six on six and you end up with a one-on-one,
yep.
can decide games. And I don't know how many. Let's hope that I think Geelong are not going to rely so much on ruck work for that. They're going to have to rely on the sort of ball hawking ability of Dangerfield and Selwood in particular,
yep.
To do that. So, but against Wits, if Wits is on and he's going to win most of the taps,
yep.
It makes that a little bit more difficult. So, as we go on against some of the better ruckmen like Grundy and a few of the others, it's probably potentially an area of an issue for the Cats, because we saw last night, I was at Marvel Stadium last night, and up and coming star of the league, that Rowan Marshall, he was
nowhere 12 months ago.
Yeah,
18 months ago.
He's marking the ball brilliantly. He's nice and fluent in his movements. He's good in the ruck.
Yep.
He's an up-and-coming star. Geelong, unfortunately, we've talked about it for quite a few years, they don't have that player.
No. I'll tell you who played well last night. Geez, he took some good marks. Was Liam Jones. I know he's
much maligned. Oh, he did. He did mark the ball.
But he makes some.
He made two absolutely horrific clangers that cost the team two goals. They lost by three. This is part of the... I don't know whether it's the coaching. If you're Liam Jones or any player and you've got limitations, every player probably has some sort of limitations.
What did Neilty say? People get mix up ambition with ability.
Yeah. He tried to switch the ball, but he did these lollies. It had to be a low dart and both got cut off. Both resulted in goals to St Kilda. You've got to know your limitations. Can't
kick the low dart.
Yeah, don't do it, because it just go down the line. And he didn't. Anyway, I always talked about Matty Scarlett when he came in. He was never a great kick.
Mm.
And he was particularly a really poor long kick. He sort of couldn't get the penetration. So he used to do these sort of helicopters. But he knew that. So he became a really, really good short kick. And his teammates would know that when he got the footy, 99 times out of 100, he was going to dash out and kick it short. So they would sort of come up to him. So they knew that's how it worked. And he became a really steady, reliable short kick.
Yep.
You just got to play within your means, and all players need to do that.
Yep. What's your favourite Ablett memory?
Oh, senior.
No, junior.
So
we'd have to dedicate three hours. Yeah, another whole podcast.
We'd still be here tomorrow.
But is there a moment with junior that you watched a lot of his games before he left, and you've watched nearly every one since he came back.
not. I'm not a sort of a moment person. The goal he kicked against Collingwood in the prelim,
07.
Yeah, was probably decisive in the history of the Geelong Footy Club, yeah. Because that was Geelong were sort of teetering on losing that game, yeah. Even though they had the talent, clearly the better team on talent wise. But it was a mental struggle for them to get over that preliminary final hurdle. And Collingwood were well drilled and well coached, and they made it tough that night. That goal was probably that goal, and in combination with Brad Otten's game that night,
yep.
was probably well, yeah. the difference.
See, what are we talking about? That margin in the prelim was only 5 points.
Yeah, yeah.
What if Collingwood win that prelim?
No, that's right.
Does Geelong's course of history take a completely divergent path?
Yeah, it does. And he rove the pack brilliantly. He shrugged the tackle. It was a 40-meter kick around the corner, which is not easy to do,
no.
to kick that length. And it went through post height.
Yep.
That was probably the one. And they replay that a lot, so it sort of sticks in your mind. Some of the games that he's played, I love his kicking, his ability to wait
yep.
kicks and send his teammate into the ball and not drill it. They're easy to mark. They're sort of, they arrive sort of feather,
yeah.
on a sort of feather doona. Rather than, in stark contrast, somebody like Patrick Dangerfield has absolutely no ability to do that.
Mm.
He kicks the cover off the ball, tries yep. to. That's why it goes left, right, all over the place.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have any ability to wait a kick. Whereas, and the other one who's really good at that is Pendlebury.
Yep.
Waiting a kick.
Yep.
So I've always, when the players you like, or you like to watch for your team, are the players, when they get the ball, you think something's good is going to happen here.
Yeah.
Because you know, and when Ablett's got it and he's sort of on the burst, you're thinking this is, he makes the right decision and his skill execution is fantastic. So I've always just enjoyed watching him every time he gets near the Sheringham, which has been a lot at times, do his thing. And he the other thing too is we forget that he, for all his skill, he was really good at ball winner. He was a really good, he's a really good contested
yep.
ball winner. He can go and get his own ball and then be absolutely dynamic on the outside as well. Maybe not as much. Well, still, he still can be now. Not to the level he was 5 or 6 years ago. But he's a capacity to go and win his own ball and then be absolutely a weapon on the outside as well. Is not something that many players
no.
can do. Judd was probably one. Even like Joel playing his 300. Joel has never been a, he's got really good skills,
yep.
And he makes really good decisions, but he's not the sort of player that's continually going to hurt you on the outside.
No, he went and got.
He'll just go and win it all the time. Whereas yep. Ablett can do a bit of both, and that's what makes him such a great player, because there's not many who can.
Yep. Joel?
Yeah, well, just unbelievable, really. He's a stand-up member of the community. He's been unbelievable.
Can you tell the story that you told last night on air about what he did during the lockdown?
Yeah, so a friend is a school teacher. He's the at a girls' Catholic college in Geelong, and during the lockdown, he was just trying to get a few things going for the girls, get a few people, sort of well-known people around town, just to send a message to the girls, which he played intermittently along the way. And so the girls would log on to their class, and then there'd be this message from somebody, you know, whether it be, I think he got some guy from Survivor, I think, Australian oh, wow. Survivor to do it. Anyway, had all these people, just a 30-second message to the girls saying, you know, obviously tough times, look after yourselves, look after your family, you know, study hard, you'll get through this. Yeah, just to try and, just something a bit different.
Yep.
So he asked me if I could get anybody to do it, and I thought, well, not really. I said, who, you know, I don't know any of the guys well enough to ring up and say, oh, well, by the way, can you do me a minute video on this? That'd be, you know, so I contacted Tom Lonigan, who is one, and I thought, well, I could get Tom to do it. And I said to him, could you maybe try and get Joel? I said, I just to do a little video. So anyway, within, I think it was less than 48 hours, I get a video on my phone sent straight to me from Joel saying, here's a video, anything else you want me to do, just let me know.
Yeah.
Good luck for the, you know, how are you going?
Yep.
You know, let me know what you need. So I sent that to him, and he played to the girls. They loved it.
Yeah.
And Domsey did one as well.
Yep.
So just little things like that, that he was more than happy to help. And it wasn't a big thing.
No.
He just filmed himself with a little message. And but it was, you know, that's the sort of guy he is. And he's a country boy. I think we probably forget that.
He's from Bendigo. He came up, just a normal family from Bendigo that just happened to have four very talented sons that all went on to play league footy.
Yeah, and he's been an unbelievable ambassador for the Geelong Footy Club. Yeah. And he's been such a great player. And, you know, he's one of those guys that makes you sort of proud that you support that club.
Yep.
The way he plays and the way he goes about it. So he's been, let's hope, I'm sure he'll play well. He didn't have his, last week he was okay. Well, last week before against Carlton, he was tagged by Curnow. So I'm sure he'll come out and have a ripper. And he obviously, I remember he tweeted, it was a couple of weeks ago, about Raoul, how he's really going to enjoy watching his career. But no doubt Joel will want to just put the young fella back in his box.
Does he go and stand next to him?
Well, maybe. It'd be great, wouldn't it? It'd be fantastic, yeah. I mean, Geelong probably won't tag him, so he could. It'd be good.
Joel was interested. So he went one-on-one with me earlier in the week. We're going to play that back in Carrick footy. And I said to him, I said, how much footy do you have left? Oh, well, actually, I said, if Joel Selwood was a petrol gauge, where's the gauge sit? And he goes, I've just put $60 in.
Abby's a tank.
Yeah.
It's a dual tank. It's a 300-litre tank.
Yeah. So, this year's going to suit him, especially coming off last year where he battled through. Yeah. Having probably the pre-season mostly off and then having another three-month break, like, will buy him a little bit more time.
Yeah. Look, he can play for as long as he likes. It'll be up to him and
He'll go out on his terms.
Yeah, and so he should.
He did say his biggest fear, though, is the injury that he doesn't know is coming. So, like, you know, he goes, I could do a knee and that's it.
That's it, yeah. Well, and he's at the stage of career. The other thing, too, that, you know, potentially is an issue, and I mean, you know, is that he's just a pure inside midfielder. That's his role. I don't know that he could really play anywhere else for a period of time.
Not like he goes to a forward pocket.
No, he's not like an Ablett who's got the creativity to go forward and play forward.
Yep.
Joel's probably in the middle.
They talked about running him off half back.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, look, that'd be interesting. I don't know. I've never really seen him defend. Mm. And I'm not saying he can't, but he's just never. Yeah. It's never been.
How often do you see him have to, in a one-on-one and?
Yeah, because he's not tall.
No.
So, and he's not super quick.
No.
He's just, his capacity to get from contest to contest because he's got a relentless motor is what is one of his traits. So, how that translates to a how many players have done that?
Mm.
How many players who have been really, I suppose Jordan Lewis is one that...
rolled back behind the footy.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
that's what I think Pendlebury will do.
Potentially. Pendlebury's got a bit more size than Selwood. So, it's not something we're going to need to worry about for probably the next 18 months, but it will be an issue when those midfield days are...
So he's 32, just gone, 33 next year, out of contract at the end of 2021. Do you anticipate he plays beyond 2021? If he can read the tea leaves and go, do you know what, we're done, we're not winning a flag now, does he go, look, I'm done and let's start moving some people through, or does he stick around to help?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Cooper Stevens come through.
It's a good question. I honestly don't know the answer, and I don't know him enough to know what his thoughts on that would be. He's been such a team player.
So the just a couple of things, and Joel's not a numbers man, and he's a footy nuffy, but he's not a I'm going to play to do this. But by the end of next year, injury. We'll say he's a Geelong club record holder.
Yep.
So he'll go past Boris. He will be very close to being the longest serving captain in
the AFL.
So let's say he doesn't miss a game. What have we got left this year? 12. He would need a couple of finals and play every game, saying we go back to 22 next year to get to Stephen Kernahan.
To get to 226.
Yep. So he's on one. He'll be 190 tomorrow. I don't think that stuff motivates Joel. The thing that motivates him is he wants to be a premiership captain of Geelong.
He does. And I remember working with Troy, his brother, when he was with us at K-Rock, and that was a little theme that he always, that you know, Joel was really, and as he would be, he's the captain, but that was one skin that he didn't have on the wall as being the premier. And they've been... What makes that sort of probably more frustrating for him is that they've got Well, they haven't really got close, but they've got close. They've been in position.
Four preliminary finals.
Yeah, they've been in a position where you think maybe this is the year.
Yep.
And it's ended up petering out.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's what would be frustrating him. And I just feel that this is their only chance this year.
Yep.
I just think if they were to fall away this year, there'd need to be some serious, serious changes to that list.
Because the age demographic, they would be one of the oldest teams in history to win it.
Yeah.
When you've got Taylor at 34, you've got Hawkins and Selwood at 32.
Ablett.
You've got Ablett at 36. You've got Tui into his 30s now. Dangerfield's hit 30.
Yeah.
That's not a young side.
No, and there becomes a point then when you're just playing those guys for the sake of playing them. Mm. Some of those sort of older guys who are second tier, you got to wonder whether then you start looking at regenerating and just playing some guys, getting some games into guys. And we saw it last night with or we saw it this year so far with, and I know they were different because they were top picks, but this is where if you fall away, you can build up because Caulfield and Hunter Clark for St Kilda are going to be really good players. Mm. Really good players. But they're top 10 picks. So this is my point with the Cats, they who refuse to drop. Mm. You're picking pick 12, 13, 14, 15 every year and you're finishing 7th or 8th. Yep. You're in no man's land.
Yep. Stevens is going to be a steal at 16.
Well, hopefully. I haven't seen him. I've only seen him once and he's only a kid. So, but
16 or 18, whatever. I'm pretty,
So they're really happy with him, are they?
Yes. Yeah.
As an inside mid.
He will be eventually, yeah.
Right, so that means that where's Charlie Constable at then? Because
Charlie Constable's. I don't think anybody's willing to come out and say that his lack of
leg speed,
but he's going to it hurts him. But I think, but they knew that when they drafted him.
Mm.
You can't make if you are not quick. You can improve somebody's running patterns, and you can maybe hedge, get them to learn how to run to hedge to get to more contests, and. You know, or be more damaged, find themselves in areas where the lack of leg speed isn't exposed. But unfortunately, right now, he played those 7 games at the start of last year, and we didn't see him again.
Yeah,
and he wasn't horrendous in any of those 7 games. He was averaging 21 possessions a game.
Yeah, no, his problem isn't finding the ball.
No,
he finds the ball in his ear.
It's probably unless he's extracting it, getting that handball or the quick kick out. He's not the one that's spreading from the...
No, he's not spreading, but not everybody spreads either. I mean, you know, Jabe Watson was never a great spreader.
No.
But he used to feed it out to play. Joel Corey was probably that sort of player. So you do need... And particularly the way...
I would have thought Constable would have played... With Kelly going, I thought that would have opened the door for Constable.
Yeah. And the way the game's played too, it's such in... You're in a phone box, which is his go, his ability just to... slide out a quick handball to somebody and release them. That's what he's really good at.
Yeah.
That is his one wood. So yeah, he's just not getting a crack. And look, we just don't know. And I mean, you talk about leg speed. They're bringing Harry Taylor back, who's slower than a Siberian winter.
Benny,
are we off?
We better.
What time
go.
Is it? It's 9:10. I have to go back to bed.
We've done 40-odd minutes.
Have we?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
All right. So, K-Rock Footy, if you listen, we'll have this up sometime Friday. So, tonight, Collingwood Essendon.
And if you're listening, if we get this up before 3 o'clock, will we?
Probably.
Okay. So, race 6 today, number 15, Glassy Miss at Bendigo, is worth an each-way ticket.
Gamble responsibly.
Yes.
What's your usual saying?
What's that? The more you bet, the more you win.
Gamble responsibly. Saturday from 3 o'clock, the Cats and the Suns. Who's joining us? Corey Enright, Troy Selwood, Brendan McCartney, one-on-one with Joel Selwood.
Can't wait for all that.
That's going to be good fun.
Yep.
And then Sunday, probably the last game in Victoria, depending on how the fixture goes, Melbourne and Richmond, which will be an interesting game.
And tune in tonight too.
Yeah, I did say it. Collingwood, isn't it?
Yeah, because we probably have a little cat chat about Selwood and Ablett again.
Yep.
Just open up the lines and hopefully a few cat fans ring up. We had Carol give us their top 5 last night. Yep. Top 5 cats.
So we might continue with that theme. Who else is joining us? We've got Matty Boyd from the Magpies and Dan Richardson, Essendon footy boss.
Oh yeah,
he's going to join us tonight as well. Kurz Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Noisa dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. KurzHire.com.au.